Bradford read to you the verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, which list a qualities and character traits for spiritual growth. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. This is the third lesson that I've delivered on this particular topic. And I have one more. So, I have a little different twist here, though. And here's that list. You know, it's faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Those are in verses 5 through 7. Depending on the translation, there's a little bit of differences between that list. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I was looking at a website from the Church of Christ, which is in Albany, New Albany, Indiana, and I ran across a lesson that Brother Jason was giving on these verses, and he called these qualities vitamins for growth. So, made me think, oh, okay, vitamins. I'm sure you've seen one-a-day vitamins advertised all your life. I have. They want you to take one of these vitamins every day for your whole life. Why? Because they're going to supplement the vitamins that you don't ingest with the foods that you eat. So, the parallel is, okay, we need these vitamins, these characters, these characteristics to help us what we're lacking in, all those vitamins, all those qualities, in order for us to grow spiritually. And you can see there's a list there, and it talks about what the serving has and what percentage of the daily requirement that is there. And usually it's over 100%. So you get more than what you need, which is good. And spiritually, we need more self-control, more love, more all those qualities that are listed in the verses. So, there's a reading that Bradford gave to us. And the bottom line is, if we practice these qualities, we're not going to fail. And I think maybe Bradford even said it twice. Okay, we're not going to fail. And that's, well, I want to go to heaven. So we don't want to be failures in this life. And we also notice up there that it's got the word supplement. We need supplements. We need to add to our list these qualities. Okay. Now let's just kind of go over the verses again slowly. And look at what Peter has to say to us. He says, His divine power is granted to us all things. You know, James, I didn't talk to James about what we were going to talk about this morning, but boy, he read this one for me. He said, God has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. By which He granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Brethren, we have sinful desires, but we can escape and we can become partakers of the divine nature. We can be more like our God, our Father, and our Savior, Jesus. For this very reason, we need to make every effort to supplement. Take those vitamins. We need to add to our faith, which is the basic, you know, fundamental faith. We have to add to our faith virtue, goodness. Now, more, we've got to add knowledge and self-control and steadfastness with godliness. And so we get to our list, and today we're going to talk about steadfastness and godliness. Hang on, here we go. What is steadfastness? I mean, I use it every day in my talking. How many times have I said that to you, Kurt? We've got to be steadfast. No. So what does that mean? Well, I went to the English dictionary. I went to the Greek dictionary. Let's see what that said. Well, the English dictionary kind of said, well, it's firmness and purpose. It's resolution. It's faith. It's attachment. Really? The fact or quality of being fixed or steady in a direction or position. The fact or quality of being firmly established. And an institution or state of affairs. Okay. Dictionaries don't help me a whole lot. I'm an engineer. I read things, but I don't understand words all the time. So, steadfastness pretty sounds like, okay, firmness of purpose. Okay, I got that. Unmovable. All right. How about Webster? What did Webster have to say? Well, he said, it's firmly fixed in place. I like that. Okay. Immovable. I like that. Not subject to change. Okay. Firm in belief, determination, or adherence, loyal. Okay, that's better. We got it. What about the Greek? Well, it turns out, Bradford read from a different translation than the ESV, the English Standard Version, and it uses the word perseverance. It doesn't use steadfastness, it's perseverance. Now, that's a word I do use. You have to persevere. Okay? And the New Living Translation, which sometimes helps. It's a little looser than the Greek, but it just means patient endurance. And steadfastness, you know, is endurance, but it's patient endurance. Okay, good. I think we've got a better handle on it. And if we look at Strong's Greek Dictionary to see what the Greek word is, and I'm not going to say it, because I'm not Greek. And even if it was Italian, I still wouldn't say it. The New American Standard Bible, basically, when it sees that Greek word, seven times it translated endurance. So we saw that in the definition. We even saw patient something, right? So it was there once. But the word perseverance, the majority of the time, when it sees that Greek word in that translation, it's going to call it perseverance. And I suspect in the English Standard Version, it's going to use the word steadfastness. Okay. But in the New American Standard, steadfastness only appears three times. And not in those verses that we just read. Okay. We have to know what does perseverance mean? And so we go to the dictionaries again. Steady persistence in a course of action or purpose or state, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, and discouragement. And that's good. Okay, when you persevere, you continue down the road. You continue doing what you're doing, no matter what barriers jump up in front of you. Difficulties, obstacles, discouragement, depression. We hear that word used a lot today. Okay, I'm depressed. Well, okay, you're depressed. Move on. Keep going. All right. And Webster says, continuing effort to do or achieving something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Steadfastness. So Webster says, okay, this word perseverance is steadfastness. Full circle. Moving on. Here's some other verses in the Bible, and that's always a good thing to do if you want to understand something in the Bible. Look and see if it shows up some other places. They kind of help you understand what that word means. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. God's delivered a lot of words to you. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God our Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's Well, we need our perseverance. That will help us persevere. We all have that hope of being with the Creator of the universe, our Savior, forever. Now, I cannot describe to you what forever means. I'm locked in time. I got a few more years left, but that's it. But forever. It's like in math, infinity. What is that? You know, well, it doesn't stop. All right, moving on. James, our brother James, the brother of Jesus, what did he write? He said, hey guys, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. These are those obstacles in our life. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God's given us everything we need. James says it again. So, hang in there, no matter what we face in life. We are living in the greatest country we can. I'm so thankful. We're going to have a celebration of our independence. My grandparents were immigrants to this country. The freedoms we have to worship our God are just amazing. We can speak to people about God without being tossed in jail or killed. And I'm so thankful for all the men and women who have defended the rights that we have in this country. That's a kind of a advertisement for celebrating our independence. God is wonderful to those of us who live here. Count it all joy. Well, how about godliness? That's the other quality or characteristic or vitamin that's on the list that we're going to talk about this morning. What is godliness? I think I talked about this a little bit at the very beginning of this series, but it's God-likeness. And what does that mean? Well, we need to think, talk, act, and treat others like God does. Okay? You know, it does not come naturally. We can look at the world. We all have choices to make. We are all free to make any choice we want. And we've all made the right choices, and it's just a wonderful planet we live on, and we're taking care of it, and we're taking care of each other, and nobody has any needs. And that's not true. It didn't happen before the day of Noah. The whole planet was filthy and dirty, and not a good thought was coming from anybody. And so God pushed the restart button, and Noah and his three sons are the reason we're all here now. And we can trace our lineage back to either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. So it doesn't come naturally. We need training. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, talked about that. He said, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word of the faith and of the good doctrine that you follow. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, here it is, train yourself for godliness. Is of value in every way. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Amen. Training in godliness is of value in every way. It's good for this life. It's good for the life to come. Paul had more to say to Timothy. He said, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Those are the words that are in the list. He just missed a few. But that's almost the complete list of what we've been talking about, what Peter had to say in his second letter. Well, that concludes the lesson. Let's summarize it. What have we found out? Peter's reminding his readers that God has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. 2 Peter 1:3. You heard it from James this morning, you heard it from Bradford, and now you hear it from me a couple times. You may get this. Repetition is good. Peter then encouraged us to make every effort to supplement, that means to add to, your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, you can't just stay in one spot. You got to keep adding. You got to take your vitamins every day, guys. So, gals and guys. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, for if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. That's good news.
Amen.
Take your vitamins. Today we looked at adding the qualities of knowledge and self-control to our faith. Next time we're going to finish up with brotherly affection and love. I just reminded of 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have love, you're like a noisy gong. Okay. So, next time, to be continued. Well, as is our custom, we want everybody to be a Christian and partake of the blessings of being in Christ. Amen. And so in his second letter, it was addressed to Christians. James read this. To those who have attained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he was writing to Christians. Okay. But Peter also had an important message after the death of Jesus. It was about 50 days after Jesus had been crucified that he preached this first sermon to unbelieving Jews. These Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. But Peter showed them that they were wrong and that Jesus was the Christ. And when they realized the scriptures that he read and the arguments that he gave, they were devastated because they had been living their whole lives looking for the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. And then they killed him on a cross. So they wanted to say, what do we do now? What do we do? Acts 2:37. And the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.
Amen.
And that has continued for 2,000 years. And if you do this, your sins will be forgiven. You'll become a new creature. And then you need to walk in the light. You need to walk and eat those vitamins and grow and reach eternal life. Guaranteed, you'll never fail.
Amen.
So if you're here and you want to partake of the blessings of Jesus, or if you're already partaking of the blessings but you have issues that you need prayers for, we stand ready to help you. Just let us know as we stand and sing the song of invitation.